We are on a mission to empower busy women with the tools and skills they need to grow successful, profitable and purposeful handmade creative business.
A business that they are excited to jump out of bed for every single morning.
A business that allows them to quit the day job and start living life how they want to live it.
Welcome to the Handmade Business Podcast with your hosts Anna Maria and Lindsay Warren.
Hi everyone and welcome to this week's episode. Me and Anna have got a great show for you lined up this week. But before we get into the episode details, I just wanted to encourage you to, if you enjoy today's show, to leave us a review either on iTunes, Stitcher or Spotify, wherever you listen to our podcast. And if you know a friend that you think would benefit from listening to the show, we'd love you to forward our details to them so that we can help as many handmade business owners as possible. So we would just love you to spread the word. So on to today's show. Me and Anna are super excited about this because this is something that we're both really passionate about. So today's episode is all about how to create epic customer service. So we're going to start off by sharing what we think is great customer service. So Anna, what do you think is great customer service? What's your first point?
Well, as somebody who, like you say, is really values customer service, not just in my own business to offer it to my customers, but I also value it from other brick and mortar shops, online shops. I think it's more important sometimes to me than just the product. Somebody could offer me a great product, but if the customer service is lacking, I'm either not going to buy or I definitely won't go back and I won't recommend them. So to me, great customer service comes from three things. So providing me with assistance, answering my questions, like pointing me in the right direction kind of thing, and solving a problem that I might have. Do you have anything to add to that or do you agree with those things?
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree with that. So for me, I would be exactly the same. If I go somewhere and the service is really poor, doesn't matter what special offers or what great products they've got, it would completely put me off. So, you know, and it is just the same for us, you know, us small business owners. So I think it's something that we all need to be really mindful of and something that we really need to work on. So are we going to pick these three subjects apart just a little bit more, Anna? So you've said about offering assistance. So what does that mean to you?
So if I, and they kind of all do intertwine with one another, but for example, if I think about on a website, so let's say I go to a website and I want to understand the product better. Having a nicely filled out item description to me is offering me assistance because it means I don't have to really root for things. Things are just bullet pointed. They're there, obviously. That is assisting me in making the purchase because I'm not having to deep dive all over the place. Yeah. And then like answering questions such as how long is it going to take to ship? How long is it going to take to be delivered? What kind of postal services do you offer? And then solving problems would be more of an after the purchase, I guess. If I've had a problem, if something's delayed, if something is damaged, solving my problem quickly, because I really do respond better to promptness. So solving any issues and doing it in a way that makes me feel like the person's taking ownership of it rather than either blaming it on somebody else or just being a bit offhandish. So do you think, in fact, good question for you, Lindsay. Can you think, I'm asking you just randomly, off the top of your head, when has been a time when something's gone wrong? Because things do go wrong sometimes.
I have had a few things gone wrong.
But can you think of something where it's gone wrong and the company's taken ownership and they've resolved it for you?
Well, I mean, I can tell you how I've done that myself in my business. So I will share that. I'll share that, shall I? So now I don't actually know whether this thing had gone wrong or not. So here's the thing. I had an order. It was shipped to America. The lady sent me this photo of the item And to me, it looked like it'd been pulled apart. Now, I knew just from traveling, I thought it was very highly unlikely that this could happen. But obviously, I couldn't be 100% sure. I would say I was 99%. So here's the thing. I had to make a decision there and then. If I wanted to get into an argument with this person, or if I just wanted to resolve it as quickly as possible. So in that, I was lucky it wasn't a really expensive item. It was more one of my lower cost items. So I offered her a refund. I didn't offer to send a replacement because by the time I'd made it and shipped it out to America from the UK, that would have obviously cost me more money. So I refunded her, job done. That, you know, because I couldn't be sure. I mean, I was 99% sure that that wouldn't have happened to my item. But obviously I wasn't going to, you know, I didn't want to take the chance. I didn't want to get into an argument. And that isn't always, I'm not saying this is the perfect solution for everyone, because if you've made something that's really expensive and you can see that maybe it's nothing down to you, then that is a real hard thing to call, isn't it, Anna? But that was just one way that, you know, I did deal with it. I mean, things that I have had, I have to say PayPal have been really good. I ordered in lockdown, as everyone appeared to try, to order one of these inflatable hot tubs. And it turned out that, well, I think the company that I ordered from were quite dodgy, because the product never turned up. But thankfully, PayPal refunded my money within like 7 days of me reporting it to them. So, you know, that for me, it was £400-£500 purchase. Imagine if I hadn't got that money back. But because I knew I purposely paid for it via PayPal, because I knew that I would be, you know, when you're making a large item like that, you know, purchasing something like that, if you go for a company that you completely trust, then I think that helps so much. So just a couple of examples of how I dealt with a difficult situation and one that I came up against myself and got good customer service. You know, I rang up PayPal, I could speak to someone quickly on the phone and they sorted it all out. So yeah, it was resolved quick. What about you, Anna? What sort of issues have you come across?
Well, in my own business, I've had obviously delays in shipping due to the pandemic, just due to it being a busy period at Christmas. And I have always tried to go above and beyond to make sure that the person gets their item. I made the decision about 3 years ago now to always offer track shipping to anywhere outside of the UK, because for my own personal safety, basically, of not having to keep offering refunds, because that was a problem I was having at Christmas, you know, with things being delayed and I didn't have the tracking, so I couldn't say for sure where something was. So that was kind of how I upgraded my customer service, was by always offering a tracking number so that I could be precise on where the parcel was. And I think that's worked really well. Touch wood, to this point, has always worked really well to make sure I can say, I'm really sorry it's delayed. But then if it is delayed and the customer is getting a bit angsty with me, I can technically still say, you know, it's delayed, there's not very much I can do about it. And that would be okay. I can say that. But what I will always try and do is I'll speak to Royal Mail. So I've had to ring Royal Mail up and say, because they sometimes have a little bit more detailed tracking information or localized information abroad for different hub centers like New York or whatever. And they can say, you know, we've seen this happen and that's why it's delayed. And then I can go back to the customer and say, I've spoken to Royal Mail, this is what happened. Now, that's kind of me going a bit above and beyond, because I'm taking my time out to be on hold to Royal Mail to get the information, to then write another email or another conversation message. I am going above and beyond. But on the whole, 99% of the time, that really does satisfy the customer, because they're like, OK, she cares. She's not just fobbing me off. She has given me more information. You know, if I've got a link to the website page that I can offer them to say, you know, this is the problem. And 99% of the time, the customer's really happy because I've not just fobbed them off. Yeah. If something's been damaged, I've had things where boxes have been, I don't know, a large item has been placed on top. And even though my parcels are really secure, like the bubble wrap, there's a box inside of the box is like spongy stuff. So it keeps the lockets, for example, really secure. But because they are glass, the lockets, if something large is, you know, banged on top, there is the possibility that they can smash. And touch wood, I have not had that happen so many times, but I have had it happened a few times. So instead of, again, trying to fob it off and say, trying to, you know, resolve it with Royal Mail and then get back to the customer, I have just said, I'll send you a new one out. And then I've gone and solved it with Royal Mail. I haven't put the time of waiting for Royal Mail to get back to me before I've dealt with the customer. I want the customer to be as happy as quickly as possible. So that's kind of, but I just thought of a negative experience that I had quite recently this year, actually. It was in the summer. I'd ordered some boxes, and it's from the same company. No, it wasn't. I had to use, was it this summer then? No, it was. It was when, so obviously Brexit's caused a lot of problems with things coming from outside the country and, you know, getting delivered. And the company that I usually use, their freight of boxes that were coming from the States, but they were having to be routed somewhere through Europe, it was delayed. So obviously that was impacting onto the customers. So I had to use another company that I don't usually use. And I ordered the boxes, everything was fine. They got delivered, or I thought they got delivered. This big box arrived. I opened them up and the boxes were smaller than they should have been. So I measured them. Oh, no. I checked my invoice to make sure I've not made the mistake first. I definitely had ordered the right size. They just sent me the wrong one. So I sent them a very polite email, explained the situation, sent photographs. And the girl said, "That's fine. We will get it sorted for you this time."
Oh,
and you know,
this time, how rude.
That's what I thought. And I thought, well, OK, I'm very happy you're sorting it out for me and you're getting, you know, a new shipment sent out to me. But the this time.
Well, yeah, when it's their fault.
When it's their fault. Exactly. You know, there's no way I could have. I think I ordered like 200 boxes. I'm not going to order 200 boxes and then take random photographs and make it look like they've sent me the wrong product. It was as if I was lying to them. Yeah. That's kind of how I felt. So even though it wasn't my normal supplier, and I hope I don't ever have to order from somebody else, but I would definitely never go back to them again. Because yes, they've solved the problem, but she did not speak to me in a nice manner, and she made me feel like it was my fault. So, you know, I'm not going to recommend them to anybody else. So she's lost a customer. Should I ever need them again from me?
Yeah.
It's a shame, really. But yeah,
it is. And do you know what? Quite often we do remember the negative stuff, don't we? More than all the good customer service.
Yeah. They stick out in our heads, don't they?
Yeah, they do. So it's so important that you deal with problems promptly. In the right way. And I always kind of think, just a bit of a sense check is, how would you like to be, you know, how do you want to be treated when you're dealing with a company? And if you can bear that in mind, that I think that can always help you find a way forward, just to sometimes try and take yourself, you know, because when you're the business owner and you can feel like it's, you know, like me with that person, you know, with the item that was damaged, you know, I could have accused her, I could have argued, but I knew that would make me feel bad and I couldn't be 100% sure. And I thought, well, I would rather just deal with this timely. Let's just resolve this really quickly and it will be done and I can move on and she can move on. And that's exactly what happened.
And then she'll remember you for that.
Yeah.
She'll know, you know, this person's going to sort me out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So then I guess we've kind of touched upon them a little bit, but I guess the next section would be, what are the benefits of offering great customer service? Customers will buy from you. If you offer great customer service straight away, whether that is having an informative listing page or they can see from the reviews and stuff that other people have left, they're more likely to buy from you in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, putting the time and effort in with the customer service, the benefits definitely are that people will more likely come back to you, aren't they?
Yeah, well, and then that's number two, is they'll come back.
Yeah.
Should they have an issue, Or had they have they received Epic, you know, if they've had an issue and you've resolved it, or they've just had a smooth sailing and everything's been lovely, they're going to come back to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what's the next thing then? What's the next thing that we said as well? Word of mouth.
Oh, word of mouth. Yes, that is such a good one, isn't it? Because even in a in the world of online sales that we're all in, word of mouth can still make such a massive difference. You know, if you go around, you know, you go around a friend's house or your family house and you see something nice, or, you know, they buy something, and or you talk, you know, you just have a conversation that you're looking for gift ideas and things like that. You know, you will stay in people's minds, won't you, when you've offered really good customer service.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll stand out as a brand to other brands.
Yeah.
Who will say, oh, well, I know from so-and-so that they offer great customer service. What can I learn from that company and take on board myself?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I tell you a company actually this year on Etsy, and I will link it in the show notes. I bought it for your birthday, and I bought it for another friend's birthday, and I've also got it for my sister. So I've made three purchases since I got it for my birthday in April, which is a spa kit.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
From a company called, I hope I'm pronouncing it properly, I'm looking at the tag, Votano. So her name's Anna, which obviously I'm going to remember because my name's also Anna. Her name's Anna, and her Etsy pages are gorgeous. The photography answers everything I need to know. If not, there's more information in the item description. She ships everything on time. It arrives very promptly. The box is all nicely set up. She sends me messages afterwards, and she remembers the fact that I've ordered previously, and she writes me a handmade note inside the parcel. I am going to continue to use her for any gifts in the future, because I know I'm going to get great customer service. So yeah, the word of mouth, absolutely. And I can learn from her, because she sends me a message after every order to say thank you for ordering from me again. She doesn't need to do that. It's an extra thing that she's doing. It's adding another post, you know, an extra post that she's doing. Yeah. But it works, because I remember her every time. Yeah. I need to just get a gift that I know is going to be extra special.
And she's, by doing that, she's adding in all those extra little touch points, isn't she, that's helped you and her build that relationship up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the more touch points we have with our customers, and the more they get to know us, it just builds up all the know, like, and trust, to hopefully they'll keep buying again. And obviously you've had that experience, because you've bought from this person more than once.
Yeah, and touch points, that was the word I wanted, touch points, because that does build the know, like,
it
trust.
It definitely does. Yeah,
it definitely does.
So now we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty then, Anna, and share the ways in which we create epic customer service for our customers. So let's start off with you. What are your first thoughts on how you create epic customer service?
Well, because I know it's important to me, and as we've said, do to others as we would want to have done to ourselves, I'm always friendly. If somebody sends me a message, even if their message has been quite abrupt because they've forgotten that I'm a person at the other end of the thing, I will be friendly back. I will always start with, if their name's there, because sometimes on Etsy it doesn't always say the person's name, it might just say Apple user or whatever. I will say, hi, John, thanks so much for getting in contact and for choosing my shop. That's the exact sentence that I use.
Oh, I like that.
Then I answer the question. Look forward to hearing from you soon. Warmest of wishes, Anna. And every time, I can't think of any time that somebody's asked me a question, because this is, I'm talking more about the questions on this time, they will come back to me. If they've been abrupt, it's not necessarily rude, it's just like, how can I get this? You know, there's no hi, there's no thank you, no nothing. They will come back to me responding to me as I have responded to them. So I'll get, hi, Anna. Thanks for your prompt response. That's really great. I'll make my purchase now, John. You know, like, they will respond back to me in the same way. So friendly, absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I'd like to just share kind of what my mission is for my business. And for me, my mission for my handmade business is that I want everyone to feel special when they buy handmade. That's always been my mission from day one. So I have spent a lot of time thinking about how I do that with an online business. So I've got a few little points to share. But I just wondered, have you got any kind of similar mission for your business, Anna? What are your thoughts on, like, you know, a mission for your business? Does that include the whole kind of the feel that you're trying to create?
Well, I mean, especially for Memories and More Gifts, I do stand by that, what we just said before, do unto others as you would have done unto yourself.
Yeah.
I want to be as friendly as possible. I want to be prompt as well. That's something that if somebody described my shop, as in my customer service, forget everything else, I would want them to say that I'm friendly and prompt. I will, as much as possible, unless there's something, you know, unless it's on another time zone and I'm asleep, I will aim to respond to every message immediately. Even if I'm out, I will respond. Yeah. And the way, as actually just a top tip that I have for doing that is, you know, if you have an iPhone, I don't know if you can do it on an Android, you probably can, you know, the keyboard shortcuts. So I have, and they're just random so that I won't type them in at any other point, I have L1, L2, L3 and L4. So when I type in L1, it says, hi there, and then I just write the person's name. L2, thanks so much for getting in contact and for choosing my shop. Then I write my message responding, L3, look forward to hearing from you soon. L4, warmest of wishes, Anna. So that I can be as quick as possible by just typing in those codes. That's that allows brilliant. Me to just be snap, snap. And again, if somebody's online and they're looking to make a purchase and they want to do it now, by me responding quickly, they're less likely to move off the page, go find somebody else, go away, do something else, come back, forget about it, you know, whatever. If I respond snap, snap, I'm more likely to get the sale, in my experience. Back in the day, I used to have my phone on loud and I would respond even if it was 3 o'clock in the morning. That is unattainable. Do not do that. Ever.
No.
It's ridiculous. But I did used to do that back in the olden days when I just started, because I didn't want to miss out on my abroad sales. But as long as, in my experience, even if it is a US customer or Australia, they will come back to you, even if you've responded as soon as you get up in the morning and you know, you set in your business time and you've got a few conversations. So yeah, friendly and prompt. That's something I want to be known for. So what about you, Lindsay? Let's hear about more about your brand mission.
Well, I'll definitely just refer back to your promptness and how important it is. Actually, last week I had a custom order come through Instagram. A gentleman, which is for my business is actually quite unusual, because quite often it's ladies that buy for me. But we were sorting out, you know, like a Christmas fairy. He wanted one made with the same color hair as his daughter. So we had, you know, we had conversations, and I was giving him, I was sending him different color options to choose from. And at the end, he said, thank you for replying so promptly. That is so refreshing, because it doesn't happen very often. And that was literally just last week. So, you know, and I don't know about you, Anna, but I really view that as like, I want to get that customer while they're warm, while they're still a hot lead, while they're in the mood to buy. Absolutely. I don't want to leave it like hours on end and they've changed their mind. I want to get to that customer as soon as I possibly can. And start building that relationship, you know. And I mean, that customer sent me through some gorgeous photos of the fairy on the tree, you know, said how much, you know, I didn't share. He actually sent me one of his daughter, which obviously I didn't share, but this beautiful little girl looking up at this fairy on the tree. Oh, it was magical. It really was just such a magical picture. And I thought, wow, what a special experience to be part of, and to, you know, to make this fairy, to, you know, for their daughter to look up at. She was only a little girl, and they've got this beautiful big tree with, and my fairy proudly sitting on the top. So that for me was like, you know, for me that was, I sat back and I thought, wow, going that extra mile to match up that color and to give them the options and to get it out as quick as I possibly could, so it could be on their tree for the 1st of December. you know, and that was a rush for me. I won't lie, I was a bit stressed. I was like, oh, I've got to get this fairy made, you know, because I had a load of other things I was juggling at the time. But seeing all that and the feedback I got was worth all of that.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because it makes you feel good afterwards.
Yeah.
You know you've done something great for your customer. They've given you a lovely photograph that you will keep and you will remember. That's bonus for you as well as for the customer. Yeah,
definitely. So the other things that for me are really super important. So when I first started my business, because I'd got it in my head that I wanted to make everyone feel really special when they bought a fairy for me, I spent some time thinking about how I was going to create that experience. So for me, I was always a paper crafter before I was into fairy making. So I make these beautiful handmade gift boxes that are all embossed with flowers and they're decorated with flowers. People can choose to have them personalized if they want to. But the fairy themselves are wrapped in tissue. Then they're in this handmade gift box. Then they're wrapped in tissue paper again. And I just wanted people to be so excited when their order arrived. You know, the box has like my Raindrop Craft sticker on, and then it has Happy Post. You know, the minute that parcel arrives on their doorstep, I want them to see it and be smiling. That was the feel I wanted. I wanted them to, you know, feel really special. And the other thing that I do is I put in a free little gift. So at the minute I've got little key rings, and I always change them up so that when I have my repeat customers, they get a different one. I have a little card at the minute that also goes in that says believe in the magic, because that's all about, you know, so people could, you know, pop that somewhere nice. You know, it could even go in the purse. It's just a like little credit card size. It's a perfect little, you know, size card for somewhere nice. And why I really like putting in a free gift is because quite often I find that people will buy my fairies to give away as gifts. But then quite often I get messages saying, oh, thank you so much for the free gift, because they get to keep that for them. And quite often that's an unexpected thing. So for me, just going that little extra mile with my customers really helps me build up that relationship and makes them, you know, in my mind, it, you know, I like to think that I make them feel special. That's the whole experience I want to create. And I don't want it just to be buying something. I do want it to be an experience. If I had a shop, you know, a real bricks and mortar shop, I would want it to be filled with beautiful loveliness and it be a whole special experience. And whilst I haven't got the bricks and mortar, I do exactly what I can to make it feel special.
And you'd certainly achieve that goal.
Oh, well, thank you, Anna, because I have been lucky enough that you bought some fairies from me. So, you know, you do know, don't you, what I set out to do.
Absolutely. And that, and you know what, I think, especially, you know, in the current times that we are in, having brands like yours that really do believe in the magic of, you know, not just that they have themselves, but also passing that magic on to their customers. That's what we need more of.
Yeah,
we need more magic. So yeah,
well, thanks, Anna. So what else are your thoughts on how else you create epic customer service?
Well, I've got, you know, I've got a few bits and pieces, but something I wrote, which I think is quite maybe unusual, maybe people wouldn't expect this, but not knowing the answers to questions, you know, off the top of your head, when this is going to ship, how long is it going to take, can you do a custom order, all those simple things that you're probably going to know the answers to. But what I've had, not so much, but a few times, especially in jewelry and gems, because I only offer certain amounts of gemstones. I don't offer every gemstone on the planet for all my jewelry. Obviously, that would be ridiculous. But should somebody come to me and say, I'm looking for this, I love your jewelry, do you think you can create this for me? If I think that I can, you know, I can source the gemstone that they want, or I can source the extra piece that will help me to make whatever it is that they want in, then I'll go ahead and do it. But if I know that I can't, and this person might say, for example, you know, it's for an extra special gift for my daughter's 21st or whatever, so I know it's really important to that customer, rather than just saying, oh, I'm sorry, I can't, which would be fine. That would be fine. If I know that I know another handmade seller that can provide that, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. However, I know that this shop, who offers great customer service, I know people that have bought from them, go ahead and check them out. You know, that will come back to me at some point.
Yeah.
It's good karma at the end of the day.
Definitely.
But I'm helping another seller out. We're all small handmade businesses on Etsy. So if I'm sending my customer to somebody else, it's going to come back to me, like I say. But I'm helping somebody else out, aren't I? And I'm helping the customer out because they get their problem resolved. So, you know, I call it signposting. You know, I'm saying, I can't, but here you go. This is where you can go and find it. It's a little bit of a random thing. And you might probably not get it so often. But just in case, I think it's good to share the love.
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, it's a little bit in the fairy maker world. I know before I've had people send me a photo of someone else's fairy saying, can you make one like this? And I'm like, I'm sorry, that's not the style of fairy I make. I know I don't know every fairy maker, but, you know, I have had it before when I've known the fairy maker and I'll say, oh, no, this fairy is made by this particular person. You need to speak to them. And even some of the time they've come back and said, oh, well, they're not taking orders at the moment. And I've just had to go back and say, I am really sorry, but that just isn't my style of fairy. That is their design. And I don't want to go down that road of copying anyone else just to get a sale. I'm kind of trying to stay in my lane, doing my fairies the way I'm doing them and the way I'm developing. And I'm just trying to be the best I can be without copying what anyone else is doing. That kind of thing just doesn't sit right. So although in some ways it's, you know, I'm not always able to accommodate that customer, I feel that it's much better to be true to me, and hopefully they'll go back to the other fairy maker. And even if they have to wait a little while, if they love that design, they'll be there when they open their order books again.
Yeah, definitely. So, and again, that will come back to you. You know, that's good karma. You're not trying to lag off somebody else's design. No. You're saying, no, I can't. Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's, and I think that's actually also providing good customer service, because you're showing your not loyalty.
Well, integrity.
Integrity. Yes.
Is that the right word?
Yes. You're showing your integrity. And I think that's actually offering good customer service.
Yeah.
So and another point that I'd put down was listening. You know, like sometimes when, especially on Memories and More Gifts, I find that I can get some really in-depth messages with some really intricate, you know, I want to have this kind of charm and I want this kind of style, because there's lots of different moving parts in the lockets. Literally, they're floating charms, lots of moving parts. If I don't listen to every single point, or, and I'm not verbally listening, but if I don't look at every single point, I might miss bits out. So really understanding what it is your customer needs, I think, is important as well. And you will have had to do that with the customer you've just had recently. Yeah. You know, they wanted something specific. So you didn't want to miss any point out that they'd asked for.
No.
But you've got to have good listening skills for that.
Yeah, you definitely. And, you know, we sort of worked together to make sure we got the right colour for the little girl's hair. The dad sent me a photo of his daughter so I could see her colour hair. So I bought a couple of different new colour options. And I said, look, these are the colours, because he did say it looked a little bit different in different lights. And I said, right, well, these are the colours I've got. Which do you, so I gave him three options. Which do you think is the closest match? And then they came back to me with what, you know, him and his wife came back to me what they thought was the closest match. And, you know, now they've ended up with a fairy sat on top of their tree that they love, you know, that's named after their daughter as well. So
cute.
Yeah. So that was a really lovely custom order to work on. You know, that was a real delight. But yeah, they're the things, like, you know, I did go the extra mile. I had an extra trip to Hobbycraft so I could have some different colour choices for that man, because I wanted to do the best that I could do for that customer. So they were really happy with that order.
Yeah, oh, lovely. Well, I guess another thing kind of that I'd written down. So we talked about, you know, you've said about different things that you include within the parcel, and I include care tip cards so that I'm advising the customer how to make sure that the necklace stays as it should.
Yeah.
I think that's offering good customer service. You know, I'm not just sending out something and leaving you to it. I'm saying, this is how you need to look after it. And another thing that kind of goes along with that, which is also listed on the bottom of the first page of my care tips, because my care tips cards are 4 pages long, not A4 pages, you know, little, yeah. What are they called?
Little tent cards, are they? No, they're
called something specific.
Little Z fold.
Postcards. They're like postcard size. So on the bottom of the first one, and I think they also get, well, I know they do, they get the email as well with the discount code.
Yes.
So I'm not just saying, here's, you know, you've bought from me, never to be seen again. Thank you for buying from me. And if you buy from me again, you use this code at checkout and you'll get 10% off.
Yeah. Have you got that set up on the automated thing for Etsy?
Yeah, I've got it on. So they get, when they purchase, they get the code. But as I know, the emails go to junk files, so people don't always get the emails. It's also written on the care tips card. So I know that they're really absolutely good. Going yeah, to get that
that's
code.
A great, yeah.
And I also have it, if you sign up to my newsletter, you get 10% off as well. So there's a variety of different ways to get the code.
Yeah.
And I think that's offering great customer service, because I guess we've kind of been indoctrinated to want discount codes.
Yes,
I appreciate them as a customer.
Yeah.
So I know that other customers will. Obviously, it's always great to pay full price. But if you can, then, and you're going to make a purchase and maybe recommend and you're going to buy again, to me, having the discount code is okay, because you've generated a lot of sales for that person.
Another
kind of little point, which I think you do really well with your Raindrop Crafts social media, is learning from your customer. So you've brought out different types of fairies, you know, like different colored skin, different colored hair. Like you've learned from maybe what your customer might be requiring. And I don't know, do you do surveys? Do you ask questions on stories? Like, what do you think of this?
I haven't so much, but it is definitely something I need to do more of. I mean, I do get a lot of nice comments from people. Oh, it's so nice to see a fairy with different colour skin. It's so nice to see a fairy with different colour hair. So I know that that is going down well. But yeah, I probably need to make a lot more of asking the questions, really, and that's something definitely that I still need to work on. There's always improvements to make and things to learn, isn't there? So I think definitely for 2022 that probably when this maybe when this podcast airs, that's something I need to work on.
Yeah, because, well, some top tips there that I know that I've seen in other brands doing, which I know works well for them, is having the little question stickers on the stories, you know, which one of these do you prefer? Or is there something, because it's kind of like you're learning about your customer.
Yeah.
And if you learn your customer, then you can support them and you can help them more. So, you know, doing the surveys, asking questions, and, you know, going back to having, different coloured skin and things like that, obviously, this year, there's been a lot of people realizing that there's certain groups of people that have not been represented very well. And I know because my partner's Asian, so my children are mixed race. And for example, with my daughter, Zachary doesn't really, I guess, say it as much, but Persia certainly realizes that she's not always represented. Like on packaging and things, and with Disney princesses. So now that there's that push, because brands are recognizing, I mean, they should have recognized it a long time ago, but anyway, you know, it's happening, so that's good. Recognizing that not everybody's represented, to me, I appreciate brands that realize that there's little girls and boys who look at their products and they don't see themselves, you know, like with Barbies.
They
listened. Oh.
So, I always just had for my fairies, I just in my head had the vision of this little girl, you know, walking by a shop window and thinking, there's not a fairy there that looks like me. And yeah, that's why I try now and I do the fairies in all different skin colours, you know, like real darker skin and then a bit lighter skin and then the red hair and, you know, because we're all different and I feel like we should all be celebrated and there should be a fairy that looks like everyone.
Yeah, So yeah, because I in fact just this morning, because it's my daughter's birthday tomorrow, and we were getting some wrapping paper, and I picked up this card that went with this particular wrapping paper, but the fairy on the front was white,
They're
with
nearly
like,
all white, aren't they?
and that's not Persia, so why? I don't want to give her that fairy card because it's not her. So I put it back and I ended up getting a unicorn card. But what I saw near the checkout was the same wrapping paper. So maybe the cards have sold out, but the same wrapping paper, but with a darker fairy
Oh,
on the paper. So
that
she's
is
got a
so
unicorn
clear.
card, but with the darker coloured fairy
Oh,
on the wrapping paper. So
yeah.
to me, she's represented on there, you
That is
know?
so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people, really need to be so mindful of that these days because it is so easy just to think, oh, I'll just make a doll with blonde hair and blue, white skin. And that is not the majority of people,
Yeah.
So the more we can just represent everybody, I think the better.
So that was my point with the learning our customers,
Definitely.
learning people,
Yeah.
listening and implementing change. So,
Yeah,
yeah, I didn't realize I was going to go on that tangent, but I thought it was
no,
important to
but
mention.
it is so important, and yeah, for me, it's something that's really important in my business, really important.
Yeah. So and kind of leading on from that is asking for feedback. You're like literally saying, how can I serve you more? I feel like I see that on posts, like from content creators, or how can I serve you more? So sometimes we might not necessarily want to hear all the answers. But by asking the question, at least if there's gaps in your products or whatever, if you ask the question, you'll get the answer. More
Definitely.
sales.
Yes.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
So yeah, the last point that I had, do you have anything to add on those before I move on to the last point?
No, I think my last point is just about, discounts and, and obviously we've had the appealing to all different people types of people. But yeah, no, I think I probably shared quite a lot of my points, Anna. What
Well,
about
then
you?
the last thing was keeping promises.
Oh yes, so important.
Yeah. And especially if you sell on Etsy. So we've had the star seller
Yes, just
implemented.
got mine. Super
Did you?
excited
Oh,
by
yes,
that.
so did I.
Yay.
Well done. Star sellers. And the thing with that is really it's customer
You, yeah,
service.
it is. You have to be putting your tracking down. You have to be responding really quickly. You have to be getting those 5-star reviews, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and the only way really to get all three things is by keeping the promises that you set in your shop.
Yes, there's no late deliveries. If that says dispatch today, that parcel is going out come hell or high water. It's going.
Exactly. And I think that having Ruth and I from Ruth Reusables, we were talking about this week, that although, we had our moment with Star Seller when it first got brought out. We had that little like, another thing. But now that it's in the ether and we're starting to see it in results, as in as shoppers, so not as the seller now, as the shopper, we are leaning towards choosing a seller that has the purple badge underneath.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's because those people have kept promises
Yeah.
that they've made.
Yeah.
So, darn you, Etsy, but also it's fine. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think we just need to look at it that it's rewarded us for doing all the things we say we'd do.
That's an excellent way to look at it. It is absolutely what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I think that's been a really great episode today, Anna. I think we've picked apart and looked at epic customer service every which way possible. We've looked at the good, the bad, the ugly, and how to create your own epic customer service. So I think it's been a great episode for everyone. Hopefully, we'll have a lot of takeaways from today. So I think it's been a great show. So thank you, Anna. I really enjoyed chatting to you about this subject.
Yeah,
thanks so much for everyone for listening today. And just a reminder, we would love you to leave us a review if you've not done so. It's super easy to do on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, where you can listen to our podcast. And if you subscribe to our newsletter, which you can do via our website, the Hamlin Business Podcast.co.uk, you can also get some freebies. I'd love you to take a look there. So thanks so much, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.